Chapter 37. Neo went straight on a video call with Safi. Everything okay, love?
Actually, I bashed my toe on the beach. It's infected.
You should see a doctor then.
I have. I've got antibiotics. Oh, and I lost my purse, but we've reported it and we're okay for money for now. Anyway, that's not why I phoned.
Neo tried to push away 100 questions about the scatterbomb of problems Safi had casually tossed her way and said, Okay, so what's up?
Mum, someone sent me a video. You have to see it. I'm sending it to you now. I didn't want you to see this on your own.
The video pinged onto her phone. It showed Chris walking on a beach, his arm around Sean. They stopped. He kissed her passionately. They were walking along the beach at Penarth, arm in arm. They didn't simply look like lovers. They looked like a couple. Relaxed, happy. And then the kiss. She saw the way Sean looked at Chris as he pulled her towards him, as if she never wanted him to let her go. Nia gasped, clutched her stomach, then another dagger plunged deep. She saw the date of the video down in the corner. June 10th, 2 days ago, Saturday afternoon.
I'm really sorry, Mum.
How did you get this? Nia asked quietly, her hand shaking.
My friend Jack happened to be there with his girlfriend. Jack and I have been texting and chatting. He knew about the video of you at the school, and he knew I was upset by it all, and I'd taken Dad's side, I suppose. He thought I should see the whole story.
Safi started to cry, and Nia felt her heart break.
Darling, it's all right, she said, but she couldn't stop her own tears now. But it's not. Last week when I spoke to him, he told me about coming to see you. He said you'd been difficult, but that he was trying everything to get you two back together. He lied to me, Mum. This is more than a fling, isn't it? It wasn't just a one-night stand, was it?
No, love, I'm so sorry.
You have to tell me now, Mum, everything. I don't want any more lies. Honestly, I can't be any crosser or more disappointed with Dad than I am now.
Nia caught her breath, wiped her face, and as gently as she could, told Safi the story.
I'm not surprised you went crazy at the school. God, Mum, how could he?
These things are never simple. Safi had stopped crying now. Her face was stern.
Don't make excuses for him. He's a bastard, Mum.
Hey, don't say that about your dad. I'll talk to him.
But don't let him get away with this. He can't go on lying like this, can he?
No, love, I know, it's not right.
Should I come home? I don't want you to be on your own.
I can handle this. I'm stronger now. This is for me and your father to sort out. Of course, if you want to come home, you must, but don't do it because of us.
Nia heard someone shout Safi's name.
Sorry, Mum, we were meant to be going out, but there's no rush.
Nia was relieved. Don't worry, you go out now. It will do you good. We'll keep in touch, okay? Despite the smile she'd put on for Safi at the end of the call, Nia was shaking with anger. How much more could Chris put her and Safi through? She thought of sending a copy of the video to Chris, but decided that for once she had the upper hand here and didn't want to give him time to prepare an argument. She rang his phone, and he answered straight away.
Nia, hi.
He was surprised, off guard.
I've been speaking to Safi.
Is she all right?
Not really.
Her friend Jack sent her a video. It was of you and Sean last Saturday on the beach at Penarth.
That's impossible.
Oh, no, I'm sending it to you now.
Nia sent him the video and waited. She heard the words in her head before he said them.
It was nothing.
Nia gasped.
Don't do that. Not again. I can't bear it.
Do what?
Minimise things. Trivialise things.
Oh, don't go all dramatic on me.
You're doing it again. God, how did I never notice?
What the hell are you talking about?
Are you actually saying that this video of you with Sean means nothing, that I have no right to be angry or hurt by it?
Yes, if you look at it sensibly, you'll see I'm right.
If I look at it like you want me to look at it, you mean? And if I do that, it means you've done nothing wrong, and I have no right to react to it. God, Chris, It's like I'm seeing you properly for the first time.
This is ridiculous. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Maybe you don't, but I do. Don't belittle me. Don't tell me I'm talking nonsense. I've put up with your bullshit for too long.
I'm just trying to make you see things for how they are.
No, you are trying to manipulate me. No wonder I was such a bloody mess. It's like you had stabbed me in the chest and then said to me I was imagining the blood, the pain. You diminish my feelings, my thoughts, my work, everything. But I'm not going to put up with it any longer. All you do is lie. You lie to me, to your own daughter, and I guess you do the same to Sean.
Don't go making out this is all my fault. I'm not the one who stood in front of the school screaming and went around attacking people. How do you think that made me feel? You humiliated me in front of everyone.
And you filmed it.
I told you why I did that. It was to protect you.
Rubbish. The only way you have used that video is to make me feel so awful about myself I'd come back to you. You should feel ashamed of what you did to me.
Nia was breathing fast. The words were tumbling out.
Did you phone me to throw insults at me?
I phoned to talk about the video, to talk to you about Safi, but if you're not going to acknowledge you did anything wrong, I don't know how we are meant to talk.
Maybe you could start by leaving that damn island and coming home. You can't stay there. Your money will run out, and without my wage coming in, you can say goodbye to your dream home and all the trappings of being married to a head teacher, a person respected by the community. Out there, you will earn a pittance, be living in some student flat, and all you will be...
She interrupted him. All I will be is Nia, and that's great.
You're seriously telling me you want a life without me? You want a divorce?
Nia paused, the enormity of the question sinking in, and then, very quietly but firmly, she answered,
Yes, that is exactly what I want.
You won't last. You're nothing without me.
And with that, he ended the call. Nia lay back on the sofa with the overwhelming feeling of coming to the end of a very long battle. She stared at the phone. The end of a battle, but the start of what? She had no idea what she was going to do next in her life. One thing she did know, though, was that the island, at least for now, was the right place for her. Nia kept to her routine of work and walks for the rest of the week. She had a few chats with Safi, walking the tightrope of trying to explain the situation without making her daughter choose sides. At least Nia had Joe's party to look forward to. On the Thursday, she had a free morning and so decided to go into Newport and buy some new clothes. Everything she owned had been bought with Chris in mind, and she wanted to see if she could buy clothes just for herself. She wandered from shop to shop, not sure at all what she wanted to buy. She automatically went for the fitted bodycon dresses Chris liked, but told herself she was looking for something different. Something new. Part of her was drawn to a more hippie-type look, but she couldn't see herself carrying that off. Eventually, she found a shop selling longer dresses. She found herself thinking about Elvira. She always looked good. Maybe she should aim for that. In the end, she found a belted dress in light blue she felt suited her. Saturday evening finally came around. Nia stood in front of the mirror wearing the blue dress. Her long dark hair hung down. It was naturally straight, and so she used curling tongs from the salon to add waves to it. The clothes, combined with far less makeup, made her look quite different, but she smiled at her reflection. The only thing that remained the same were the heels. She wasn't ready to forego them. She settled Romeo down and waited outside the house for Jade so they could go to the party together. Jade wore her usual casual trousers, trainers, but with a crop top and large earrings. "Blimey, you look so different," Jade said. Standing back, she scrutinised her. "Very Kate Middleton." Nia felt herself blushing. "God, I'm sorry," said Jade. "You look lovely and you have gorgeous hair. You should wear it down more often." Joe's parents lived in a large, picturesque house on the edge of the village of Calbourne. "Is it odd for you coming here, being with Joe's parents?" Nia asked. Jade shook her head. "Usually, when I see them, it confirms I'm making the right decision." There were fairy lights around the front door, and they went in together. A large red-faced man came to greet them.
"Jade, my beautiful girl,"
he shouted, and then gave Jade a huge hug.
You look gorgeous,
he winked at Nia.
Nice to meet you.
This is Nia. She's staying in the close and working at the salon with me at the moment.
Of course, Joe told me about you. I hope everyone is making you welcome. So sorry about the terrible incident with poor Ruby, though. How are you doing, Jade?
I'm getting there, thanks.
That's the way. You two were close, I know that. Poor Joe has been distraught. Just as well he has the business to keep him occupied.
Joe came over to them, and his dad put his arm around him.
Look at my boy, 30, can you believe that? Only seems yesterday I was taking him over the wreck here to play football. Time he settled down, eh, Jade? You are still footloose and fancy-free?
He gave her a knowing wink.
For God's sake, Dad, said Joe, but he laughed as he said it.
They were joined by a tall, smart woman, and it was easy to see she was Joe's mother. Tony, are you keeping these poor girls hostage at the front door? She gave Jade a huge smile. How lovely to see you. Goodness, you get prettier by the day. Jade grinned back. Now come on in and I'll get you both a drink. There was a large living room that opened out into the garden, which was decorated with party lights, and there was a band playing. Nia accepted a glass of wine, while Jade managed to talk Joe's mum down to an orange juice. Now there's plenty of food. The caterers have set it all up in the kitchen diner. Please tuck in. I know what you girls are like, crunching on a stick of celery. Nia assumed this remark was aimed at Jade and smiled. Ethan was in the garden, but came in to greet them.
Hiya. Goodness, I feel old here tonight. Elvira is much more their age.
He was wearing, as always, his baggy cords, but Nia guessed, at Elvira's bidding, a blue shirt that was actually ironed. He frowned at Nia a second and blinked.
You look different. Your hair, it's long, and your face.
He scrutinised her as if she was some new kind of bug he'd stumbled over.
For God's sake, Ethan, don't get too carried away with the compliments. Jade laughed.
Sorry, you look lovely, he said,
and gave her a warm smile. Nia could feel herself blushing and looked down. They went out into the garden and Ethan grinned.
Fancy a dance, then? Elvira is off with some friends of hers. Come on.
He took her drink, placed it on a table, and Nia found herself whisked away. Neither of them were very skillful dancers, but it didn't matter. Chris hated dancing. Nia always felt he was embarrassed because he was so much taller than her. Ethan didn't seem to care. He took her hand, twirled her around. Nia felt quite heady on this feeling of being happy, of being with someone who seemed to feel she was pretty and fun. She could have kept dancing all evening, but eventually Elvira came over. With a slightly acidic tone, she said,
I think I'll pinch my fiancé back now,
and then glanced at Nia.
You've had a makeover, haven't you? Copying my look?
Nia felt her cheeks burning, and she glared at Elvira. How dared this woman, who was cheating on the man she was about to marry, be so rude? Nia backed away, but as she did, she put on a sickly smile and said, It's much pleasanter here than in some creepy old car park in Ryde. You never know who you might bump into there. Elvira let out a tiny screech and covered her mouth. Ethan put his arm around her.
What's wrong? Are you okay?
Of course, it's nothing. Let's dance.
Elvira turned her back on Nia and headed off with Ethan. Nia was busy scolding herself for her lack of tact when Joe's father clinked a glass, the music stopped, and he stood ready with his wife to make a speech. Joe looked suitably bashful but quietly pleased with the deluge of compliments paid by his dad. These were slightly modified by heckles from friends, but the mood was good-natured. Towards the end of his speech, Joe's father became more emotional.
Finally, can I just say how incredibly lucky Liz and I feel to have Joe as our son? I may be biased, but to me, he's perfect.
He smiled over at Joe.
So perfect that all we need now is for our Joe to meet a perfect, wonderful woman. They say you work for your children, and everything we've done has been for Joe, and now, of course, for the generation after. Your mum has an empty photo frame waiting. You know that.
Joe raised his eyes, but Nia was aware of the pressure hidden beneath the smiles. The end of the speech seemed to mark the point for the partygoers to get stuck into the food, and Nia was thinking of going inside when she felt a hand grab her elbow and sharp fingernails digging into her flesh.
"We need a word,"
said Elvira, dragging her to a sheltered side of the garden.
"What's going on? Why were you following me?"
"Why were you meeting up with your ex?"
"That's none of your business."
"Does Ethan know?"
"Look, keep out of this. You have no idea what's going on, but I'll tell you this. Hugo has some very unpleasant friends. You don't want to mess with them."
"You're threatening me."
"I am warning you for your own sake. Keep out of this."
"Did Ruby find out about you and Hugo?" Nia braced herself for an angry outburst from Elvira, but instead, Elvira stood very still. Her eyes were wide with fright.
"I had nothing to do with Ruby's death. Leave me alone."
As if out of nowhere, Ethan appeared. Nia hadn't realised he was so close. He put his arm around his fiancée, glanced at Nia, but spoke to Elvira.
"Are you okay? Why don't we go and get something to eat?"
Elvira didn't look at him, but Nia saw his hand tighten around her shoulder and gently lead her away. Jade arrived a few seconds after.
"Have you seen the buffet? It's amazing."
She stopped, glanced at Nia.
"Are you okay? You look like you've seen a ghost." No, I'm fine. Let's get something to eat."
Nia followed Jade into the house, where she found an array of delectable dishes, including lobster, oysters, roasts with all the trimmings, and colourful salads. There was also a dessert bar laden with profiteroles, pastries, puddings, and cheeses to round off the feast. Nia picked at the food, but didn't want to linger inside, and was glad to leave Jade and return to the garden. She found a solitary bench where she could sit on her own. Looking up, she could see a black sky full of stars, and suddenly wished she could go home. The party was well underway now. She saw Richie had arrived and was talking with friends. He looked younger and more carefree here. Ian and Lucy were also there now, and she saw Ian holding forth to a group of Joe's sailing friends, Lucy, as always, tucked behind her husband. As Nia watched, she was startled to be joined by Ethan.
"What's going on with you and Elvira? What have you said to upset her so much?"
"I think she needs to tell you that."
"She won't. You know how she is. I saw you on Sunday. Were you following her?"
Nia nodded.
"But why? Surely you don't suspect her of having something to do with Ruby's death. Please don't say that. Elvira is the sweetest, most innocent person I know."
Nia pressed her lips together. What was she meant to say? He moved closer to her. She could feel his breath on her cheek and her heart was thumping.
"Nia, I like to think you and I have become close in quite a short time. Please talk to me."
He was looking deep into her eyes now. Slowly she lifted her hand, laid it on his cheek, and leant towards him.